Radio 1.
This is a download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
That's the number.
Even after I've heard it, I can't remember it back.
It takes time. We had to change the number. Other people were...
No, it's very good. I just think I have a mental block. 07774.
No, don't. 07774.
Hang on, I better not do that, otherwise I might give... might be somebody else's phone number that I'm just giving out.
Randomly just giving out. 07774-914.
There's a lot of sevens in there.
There is a lot of sevens. Right, so we gave you the new number on Friday. This didn't take long, did it? Already, people are handing it out to their relatives.
Hello, Helen, it's Mummy. Can you ring me now, please? Bye-bye.
Now, who's more embarrassed by that message, do you think? The mum or Helen? Because the whole country now knows that she calls her mum Mummy. Mummy.
Hello, Helen, it's Mummy. Can you ring me now, please? Bye-bye.
Unless Helen's just a very cunning five-year-old.
Maybe. Hello, have the flood number. It's new. Right, we like this one because this guy does an impression, but we think he's doing it of the wrong person. You decide what you think.
Hi, Sarah. It's Paul. Met the other night in Icon. You said it looked like Ashley from Coronation Street. Wondered if you fancy meeting up sometime. Wondered if you fancy meeting up sometime. Anyway, give me a call.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Right, so... Does he think she says he looked like Fred Elliott? And if you did think that, why would you call her up? That's a great impression. Thanks for that.
Wondered if you fancy meeting up sometime. Wondered if you fancy meeting up sometime.
That's not a bad impression.
You got the wrong person. Now, as always, as we know by now, on Flirt Divert, one slightly intense boy. And here he is. Here's the first one of what I imagine will be many.
Hi, Jess. It's me. Can you give me a ring, please? Can you get this message? Because I'm missing you too much.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
And there's another one.
Hello? I love you too much. Thinking about y'all. I'm missing y'all.
Is that Mark Owen?
And, I'm interested to ask you something, okay? I'll ring you up. Bye.
See? Hello?
Right. Was he chewing a sweet at the end?
It's very windy where he was, wasn't it?
Oh, that's wrong.
Also, he was doing that no, you hang up thing, but only to an answer phone. Oh, I love Flirt Divert. I'm so glad it's back.
Bye.
Radio 1.
Radio 1 podcast.
Radio 1.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Scott.
Now, you're in Stourbridge.
That's right.
And you sent me a letter recently. I don't get letters very much, so that's quite good. You know, I've been asking for people's stuff.
That's right, I heard it last week.
This is all a bit different, though.
Really?
Now, explain what you were trying to do with your ad in the paper, Chris.
We had a new band we were putting together and needed a new singer. So, we had a few tapes come in.
Actually, Chappers has got the advert here.
I've got it right here. It says, if you can sing, here's a great opportunity for you. A rock pop band requires you immediately. Ring this phone number anytime. Please leave your name and number if the phone is not attended. It's very polite.
So, you put the ad in, and what kind of singer were you after, Chris?
Well, I was thinking of somebody a bit like, you know, Bono, maybe, somebody like that.
OK, so we've got one here. This is Paul Lander from Wolverhampton who applied for the job, didn't he?
That's right. I always remember him because of the photograph he sent. He had black hair, long black hair, and a blonde beard. Which, but I mean, you laugh, but I mean, that's what David Beckham's got now. So, you know,
that's very true, yeah.
He was ahead of the times. OK, Chappers has what Paul said in his letter to you.
So he said, I have a 4-octave range, just like Ian Gillan from Deep Purple. I've been described as having a big voice that could fill the largest of UK concert halls.
God, you must have read that and thought, oh, I've struck gold here.
Well, yeah, I thought, this is Bono.
Yeah? Now, I've got a bit of Deep Purple here, so let's hear what Ian Gillan sounds like first of all, right? Classic rock voice, Ian Gillan, Deep Purple. Okay, here's Paul Lander from Wolverhampton. He's got a 4-octave range that could fill the largest of UK concert halls.
Spend my time waiting by the phone. Oh, darling, come back to me. I surrender. I'm giving up the role of pretender. Oh, be tender, girl, be tender. Can't you feel the love that I send her? I surrender.
So you're thinking, ooh.
Yep.
I remember.
Now,
seems like a lifetime.
I'm not musical in any sense, but he doesn't even appear to be in time.
Since you left
well,
me.
I don't know. I mean, he goes so far out of tune, he almost goes back into tune again. You know, so
you're thinking, oh, I've got the new Bono here, and then this.
What does it take to stay by my side? You know, I'll do what
now, surely he's having a laugh. Surely.
No, he was deadly serious. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
He was a no, then, was he?
He was a no, but, I mean, I do he wonder what happened to him.
Now, what about Russell Anthony Preece from Ellesmere Port? That's another one he sent to me.
Yeah, I was a bit... I didn't know what to make of that one.
How do you mean?
I just sounded a bit threatening, really. I wasn't sure if he was, you know, what he would say if I sent him a rejection letter, so...
What do you mean threatening?
Just the tone of his voice, he just doesn't sound quite there somehow. And, the photograph, I mean, he had like a Picasso type of face, you know, like one eye was a bit lower than the other and that type of thing. But he looked more presentable somehow than the other guy.
Right. He looked more presentable than the other guy, even though he had one eye lower than the other.
Well, you need a gimmick, you know, and we just thought, you know, that might possibly be, you know, a good reason to pick him, but we just didn't really, you know, feel that safe.
Do you feel he was a little dangerous?
Yeah, you might hear it in his voice. There's just something, I mean, he's a rock singer, I suppose, but there's a bit of, like, danger in there.
Okay, Chappers now has what Russell wrote in his letter to you.
So he wrote to you then that this track is my own theme song, introducing my ability to sing, play drums, and occasionally the guitar completely at the same time.
Okay, here's Russell with my own theme song.
Preece is my name, and fighting's my game. I'm 16 years old.
Listen, all at the same time.
They call me Big Bad Russell Preece. Anyone who gets in my way. Will
I see what you mean about the voice.
Yeah, there's something there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Preece is
there's a guitar.
There's a guitar, yeah.
He could have joined Radiohead.
I'm 16 years old.
So he didn't get the job either, no?
He didn't, no.
You put in your letter to Scott that the only inspiration he gave you was to move house. Was he next? Did he live near you or something?
No, he didn't live near, but obviously he knew my address to send the tape. And he's not the kind of person to probably accept rejection well. That was.
So you actually did move?
Well, yeah, a few months later. It was only down the road, but far enough.
And he knows where you are, Scott. I know if he's listening.
Imagine that. Right, it's the middle of the night.
You're lying there in bed. There's an owl outside.
Right.
And then, like, you hear this kind of, like... door open. You're like, oh, God. There's someone in the house. I've got a burglar. And the next thing you hear is this.
Greet is my name.
And the owl's going mad outside.
And fighting's my game.
And you're lying there thinking, how did the burglar get a key?
16 years old.
I am, yeah.
Already as rough as the road. They call me Big Bad Road.
God, make it stop. I'm also thinking, why is there such a rubbish owl outside? Radio 1. It's now time for another one of Deirdre's video casebooks, which are amazing. It's the online version of the picture stories that we know and love so well in the Sun newspaper. People have been emailing me, telling me which their favourite ones are, because loads of people have been watching them over the weekend. A lot of people favour Cliff's shock revelation. So that's the one we're going to bring you tonight.
Okay.
Just in case you can't get to the Sun's website. Now, here's Cliff and Janice, his girlfriend.
I'm off to my mum's now, Cliff, but I'll be back in time for tea.
OK, Janice. Well, give her my love, and I'll work on these sales reports while you're out.
OK.
I can't concentrate on this. I've got other things on my mind that just can't wait.
Mm. Is he talking about the script that he can't concentrate on?
No, he isn't.
Oh.
What do you think those things could be?
I don't know.
So Janice is out.
Hmm.
What does Cliff do?
I don't know.
He goes straight upstairs and goes through her drawers.
I've always loved the feel of this. It's so silky and smooth. I feel so relaxed dressed like this. I wish I could explain it to Janice, but she wouldn't understand.
Okay, yeah, he is actually wearing some of Janice's clothes now, let's say, from her drawer upstairs with underwear in it. Come on, we've all done it. Come on, you're sat there... Right, OK, if you're sat there next to your girlfriend right now, or your wife, in the car, on the way home from work, maybe you're in the kitchen together cooking tea. Girls, I can tell you, he has put your underwear on at some point. He has. All blokes do it. And you can look at each other in that funny way like you're doing now, but I'm telling you, girls, it's happened. When you've been out at your mum's, like Janice, it's happened.
You're on your own with this one.
Oh, come on.
Look, I've always told you when I've worn women's clothes, and there we are. And right. It just happened that one time when I played the prostitute in a school play. But apart from that, I've never worn women's clothes.
Anyway, back to the story. Oh, no! Janice is back! But she's still got no idea that Cliff's wearing her panties.
Hey, babes. Did you manage to get all your work done?
I did, thanks, yeah. How's your mum?
Oh, she's fine. Actually, she was in a pretty good mood because she won a tenner on scratch.
She'd get mad if she knew I was wearing her knickers, but I couldn't resist leaving them on.
Was that a thought bubble thing?
You can't resist it, can you?
No.
Girls, your bloke could be wearing your underwear right now. He probably is. Right, Janice has got an idea.
There's nothing good on TV, Cliff. Come on, I've got a good idea.
No, not tonight. I'm a little bit tired. Sorry. I don't want her to start undressing me. She'll go up the wall.
Oh, no. He's still got the knickers on. She's getting a bit fruity.
Oh, no.
Cliff's not interested at all. We all know why.
What's he going to do?
Why won't you let me undress you, Cliff? What are you trying to hide?
Nothing. It's nothing. Just get out of my way.
Right, it all goes off now. This is the best bit.
Cliff, why are you behaving in such a strange manner? I demand to know. Cliff, why are you behaving in such a strange manner? I demand to know.
Oh, no, don't do it, Cliff.
Fine. Well, you really want to know?
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Oh, my God. You're wearing my knickers!
This is National Radio 1. You are kind of on your own on the men wearing their wives and girlfriends.
Yeah, well, they would say that, wouldn't they?
Nick in Torquay, Andy in Derby, Rob in Brighton, Nick on the way home, Steve on the way home as well.
They're not going to admit it to their girlfriend. It's like Cliff.
One text comes in and just goes... Not in my house, sunshine.
Girls, it happens. That's what boys do.
It doesn't.
They do. You go out, they're straight in your underwear drawer, it happens. And soon you start admitting that to yourself, there we are.
What? The sooner you start admitting that... Are you just trying to stir up trouble between couples who are driving home at the moment?
Not at all. Someone says they were driving past somebody on the motorway and saw a bloke get whacked properly hard by his wife around the head. Not sure if the two incidents are related. A lot of people want this as their text alert.
Oh, my God. You're wearing my knickers.
And lots of people saying that sounds like Laura. And the "oh, my God" bit sounds just like Laura.
It does a bit.
Oh, my God.
It does. Imagine that, though. You're in the pub, having a pint, and get a message on your phone.
Oh, my God. You're wearing my knickers.
Hello, Radio 1.
Hi there.
Hi there. Who's that?
It's Alan.
Hi, Alan. How can I help you?
Well, I just thought you might like to hear the story about me wearing a pair of girls' lacy French knickers.
Right, you see...
I'd like nothing more, Alan.
Everybody's done it. And if they say they haven't, then they're lying not only to their girlfriends or wives, but also to themselves. Go on then, Alan.
What actually happened is I pulled a girl one night and took her up the road, and, you know, inevitable happened. And she was wearing a very nice pair of lacy pants. Mm. And, well, we'd run out of cigarettes and drink, and I was quite drunk already. So she says, "Well, why don't you nip over at the shop?" So I starts getting dressed. And she says, "Look, it really turned me on to think that you're out at shops wearing my sexy underwear." So I obliged, put them on, thought it was a bit weird, went to the shops, crossed the road and got hit by a taxi. And woke up in the Western Infirmary in Glasgow. Oh, with the offending garment pinned to my wee clipboard at the end of the bed. Much to the amusement of all the nurses. Wow. I quickly signed myself out and back up the road, and the cheeky cow was still in my bed. Get home.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh. Very embarrassing.
No, really?
I will never, ever, ever wear women's underwear again. Radio 1.
This is a download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/radio1.